Hello and welcome to DTNS Labs. I'm Scott Johnson. You guys, let's talk about art tech. All right. It's my first of these. I'm pretty excited about it because it combines two things I love. Technology and the technology of art. I love to draw. I love to illustrate. I've been doing it my whole life. And during the time that I've had a career in this space, I have jumped from all sorts of mediums and back and forth to others. Started out with pen and paper, of course. Moved my way to digital in the 90s and kind of stayed there. And now it's a thriving space. It's a great place to be an artist. It's never been a better time. And I thought, you know what? As part of these new DTNS Labs opportunities, it gives me a chance to tell people how I'm doing what I'm making, collaborate with other artists, have them give feedback, maybe even an interview or two in the future, where I talk to some art professionals and talk about the tech that they're using, which in the last 5-6 years hasn't changed dramatically, but it's improved dramatically in that time. Prior to that, though, there were some big leaps and bounds from the very, very heady original days of the Wacom Intuos tablet that was very expensive, but let you take a pen and draw on a plastic board, and that would somehow translate to pixels on a screen. We've come a long way from that, and we're going to talk about it, all right? So today's focus will be, hey, Scott, what are the options that are out there, and which one should I consider? And what are my budgets going to have to look like? So I think that's important to all of these. I'm going to tell you what these things cost, tell you about my experience with them, and you guys can make a decision based on that, hopefully. Anyway, the field is widening, that's for sure. There are a lot more options than there used to be. It used to be that Wacom was the only game in town, but the method is largely unchanged. In fact, really, the method's never really changed. I mean, back in the day, when I say in the day, ancient man would draw on a cave wall with a piece of chalk or some kind of rock. And nothing has really changed since then except the surface that we do it on. So whether you're drawing in that cave still or with a white stone or, I don't know, using pen and ink on papyrus, or you're creating digital paintings on a Surface Studio, the overall method is the same. All right? The whole idea is to get our imaginations out and on display. And it doesn't matter when you live, there's a way to do this. Still requires the artist, however. So if you're listening to this thinking, oh, Scott, this is going to be my chance. I'm going to hear this and I'm going to walk away a digital artist or an artist in general. I'm going to learn how to draw. Nope, that's not what this is about. I presume that some of you are already tinkering with your talent and looking for ways to expand. And even if you're just here to see what's going on in the world of art tech, I think it's a great thing to listen to. So, sit down for a spell and enjoy yourself while I talk about what I saw this year. Now, this was a year I was looking for an upgrade. And I was doing that because it was time to pass on what I had to my daughter, who's also sort of a fledgling artist, and a chance for me to upgrade. It was just time for me to look at, you know, moving up, trying something new. So today I'm going to look at the overview of the strengths and weaknesses of these devices, and I'm going to talk about each one that I personally tried this year. So this isn't me saying, oh, here's what I think they are, or this is what I've read about them, or this is the research I did. This is based on actual hands-on or pen-on experience with these various manufacturers, these various models, and these various technologies. I did that because I wanted to have as fair a playing field as possible as to what I wanted to do next. Or where I wanted to expand this year, or even just upgrade. And I was fine going into it saying, well, maybe I'll just upgrade the thing I have now with the newer version of the thing I have now, which I'll mention. I have a Wacom 22HD. It's a touchscreen. I've had it for a few years now, two and a half years. It served me very well, and I do most of my big production stuff on it. Connected to a Mac. Works just fine on a PC as well. I use the Adobe products primarily, so that gives you a little background on what I'm doing there. So let's start with the good old-fashioned Wacom products. They are the name everybody associates with art. I know I say Wacom. Many say Wacom. I've heard them themselves say it two different ways, so I don't really care that much. So save your emails. You don't need to tell me how to say it. Wacom or Wacom or Wacom or however it is you're saying it. All right? It doesn't matter. The point is, let's start with them. So, either the desktop or the connected stuff or the standalone stuff, they're still the leader in the space when it comes to a big touch pen display sitting next to a computer and connecting to your apps and using it as a big art tablet. That is Wacom's domain. There are some encroachments coming their way, but when it comes to a production environment, a PC or a Mac in a studio or an office, sitting there being used for the reasons you would have one, they're still the king. Okay, so comic book artists, storyboard artists, 3D artists, cartoonists, illustrators, animators, they are using the Wacom line of products. All right, they're still kind of the best for that big environment. So they're also working on more portable solutions. We'll talk about the Companion line, which I actually think is on the way out. I think it must be, even though I can't find an official word on it. But here's what I did, okay? And we're not going to mess with any of like the Wacom Intuos stuff or any of the devices where they're not a display. This is focused purely on a display. That doesn't mean those aren't viable options. A lot of people email me and say, Scott, what should I get for my 10-year-old daughter? She's showing lots of talent and lots of interest. I want to get her into it. Oftentimes I will say, yeah, get her Wacom or some other brand, small, although I think the Wacoms are still the best, but a small, you know, 12-inch, 13-inch, something range, bamboo, they have the bamboo line or one of those is great. They're great. They connect to your PC or Mac and they let you draw on the thing, and what's on screen is what you draw on the thing. But it's not a screen you're drawing on, so it's a little bit to get used to. It's also not the most optimal way to do this. It's kind of the old way. So if you want to be inexpensive, you can get one of those for, you know, less than a couple hundred bucks, sometimes less than 100. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that next level where you're getting just a little bit more serious about what you want to do. All right. So Wacom Cintiq, they have something called the Pro 13. This is their least expensive entry level screen based pen display. These require a Mac or a PC to connect to. So this is not a standalone computer. This is straight up a device that is going to cost you $999. That is on the low end of the Cintiqs or of the displays that Wacom makes. They have a $1,400 or a little more than that. It looks like about $1,500 one for or a price for the 16-inch of the same thing. These are good standard level entry stuff for pen displays. Again, you need that Mac or a PC. And the strengths of this are they've been doing this for a lot of years. They've honed this technology really well. And you've got really good pen performance across the board on all Wacom products. They're pretty good. And I say pretty good because I'm going to tell you about a better one at the end here. But they're pretty dang good. Now, I still notice lag. That is true on my big desktop 22-inch that I have here. But I still noticed it when I was messing around with the 13 and 16s, which I did get a chance to play with this year. They're a little less laggy than they have been in years past. They claim 4 times faster than they used to be. I'm not sure I can detect that, but I can detect some lag. So, again, about what you expect. It's not bad, but, you know, you can tell there's a little bit there. All right, so there's your options. That's a pretty good entry-level price. Cintiq 27 QHD is their latest flagship high-end device. This is a big touch display also. And when I say that, by the way, this is them putting multi-touch into the interface. So as with my 22, I can pinch and zoom and scroll with my hands and that sort of thing. Now, I'm going to be honest here. I don't use that functionality very often. Part of it is all the habits built into me with shortcut keys on my keyboard and also the function keys on the side of the Cintiq itself and the way I use the pen and the way I've got my shortcuts going. Like, I just rarely use the touch stuff, which is unfortunate because they used to make 2 versions, non-touch and touch, and I should have probably gotten the non-touch because it was cheaper. Now they just make the touch version of the pen display. So the pen thing's the same. It's just you'll have these touch capabilities, which I currently have turned off. Not saying you will. You might find it perfect for what you're doing. But you're going to pay for this 27-inch high-end model $2,399.95. That may sound like a lot, but it was $3,000 for the old 21-inchers back in the day. So the pricing is actually lower on their high-end than they've ever been. Still, pretty penny to pay just for a display. $2,399.95. Pretty high-end, 16x9, has the highest resolution of any of the Cintiqs at 2560x1440. Not quite 4K, but better than 1080p. And has really good color depth, 97% Adobe RGB, 1 billion colors, even though your eye can't see that many. And again, it does the pen and touch controls the way I mentioned before. All right, so that's your high-end. This is what, you know, if you work for Disney and you're a storyboard artist, this is what they're buying and putting on your desk. Okay, that's pretty much it. They also have the 22 QHD, which is a lot like mine. Well, it's exactly like mine. $19,995. So $2,000, about $400 less for the smaller size. Same features, just the smaller inches. Okay. Personally, I've liked the 22 because it's felt like the right size. The hardest thing to get used to is the 16x9 because 4x3 was how it always was on the 21s back in the day. They were lower resolution though too, which was, you know, I look back now, I'm not sure how I even got by with it, but whatever, it worked at the time. But 22 inches has been plenty for me. So that's a pretty good solution for people who are looking for high-end performance, high-end use cases, but don't necessarily need to crowd your desk with 27 inches. Then there is this weird offshoot that I think they're going to get rid of because they're not in stock anywhere. They still list it as one of their products. The last time it was updated, it showed that Windows 8.1 was the operating system. So no Windows 10 on there. That makes me think that they either haven't updated that stuff, which is also weird, or they just don't plan to make these again. I know there's some used ones floating around, but anyway, that's the Cintiq Companion 2. Now, this is a tablet PC, again, running Windows 8. It also connects to Macs and PCs as a separate device, so you can use it like a regular Wacom or Wacom. $2,000 if you can find one. A little pricey for what this is, given the age of the thing. 512 gigabyte storage is where we're going to max out there. And it's good. It's, you know, Windows on the go. That means native apps on there. You're going to run Adobe Illustrator. You're going to run Adobe Photoshop. You're going to run, you know, Painter. Like, full versions of desktop software that you want to or already use. And that's a big advantage. But when you take it back, even if you've got a Mac desktop at home, like an iMac or a Mac Pro or something, or even a MacBook Pro, this can also then be used as a connected device and be used there as well. And if you have like an Adobe CC account, you've got access to all those apps on both platforms because your account, I mean, you can only use one at a time, but your account will allow you to have both the Mac and PC versions. Anyway, great pressure sensitivity, but kind of the same latency problems as the desktop products. Again, not really problems, but just not all there, not exactly perfect. But there are none of these in stock anywhere. So if you're going to get one, you're going to have to get like a discontinued refurb or used or something like that. You might be able to score a big deal on it. I don't even know if it'll upgrade to 10. The Windows 8.1 thing makes me really nervous. I wasn't able to get any other info beyond that. But I did play with one of these this year. And I came away thinking it was a little expensive for what it was. I mean, if you're only going to use it for art, this is not a desktop solution. This is not a portable computer as much as it is a portable display. And for artists, that's great, but that's a price tag you may not want to spend. And then you can go really nuts with what I think is where they're probably heading in the future, which is the Wacom Mobile Studio Pro 13 and 16. The 13 is going to run you about $1,500 on the low end, up to about $3,000 depending on the specs for the 16. So I'm going to assume you're going to want to go, you know, high end. If you're going to go for this, you're going to spend the money. $3,000 will get you up to 16 gig of RAM. These are all running, well, in the higher price range, all running Core i7 processors from Intel with Iris 550 graphics, which aren't bad for this use case, and up to 512 gig of fast storage. These do come with Windows 10, Windows 10 Home specifically, and can also, again, be used as a display on its own for your Mac or your PC as needed, but to do that, you need the Wacom Link for that. That's an optional little breakout box. That's going to run you another 65 bones. So keep that in mind. These are very nice. I was really impressed with these. The price, though, very expensive. And you wouldn't want to go the low end. There's not enough storage in that. And the high end is not that high end compared to some notebook solutions out there. It's not a notebook. Again, it's not a notebook computer. It is a portable art device. And it's very expensive. Really nice, but very expensive. Okay, there's your Wacom options. Let's jump to the Surface line from Microsoft. I'm going to tear through this really quick. I had a chance to use a Surface 2 back in the day, Surface Pro 2. And that thing was awesome. It used Wacom as the pen engine. One of the things I like about that pen is that the Wacom technology doesn't require charging. The pen is a non-chargeable device, which is great because you never have to worry about charging it or being dead or anything like that. The 2 was amazing. Really, really great for its time. jump ahead to the 4. With the 3, they stopped using Wacom and started using their own tech. Same goes for the 4. It is not as good. I hate to say it because I think the Surface Pro 4 is a rad machine. 512 gig of space, 16 gig of RAM, and Core i7e processors for $1,700. That price is good. It's an awesome notebook tablet thing. Good specs, all that. But the pen is laggy. And I wish they'd used the Wacom pen from the 2. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what deal I couldn't strike or what happened there. But really bums me out. Pressure settings are also lacking. It just doesn't feel like you have as much level of pressure sensitivity that you're used to with other devices like that of the Wacom line. But great for using native apps like Adobe stuff because you're just running straight up Windows. And if you're using this as a multi-purpose machine, you can probably get by. But if you use it primarily for art, this is not the best device to get. Even at that price, it's not the best device to get. I hate to say it. I don't want to say that because this was actually where I thought I was going to go this year. I really thought a Surface Pro or a Surface Studio was in my future. Microsoft swinging toward artists and saying, yo, look, we can do this stuff good too. And in recent years, Apple has backed off of their kind of artsy-fartsy focus a little bit, focused so much on mobile that they haven't really thrown us a bone in a while. And as excited as I am about that iMac Pro, that thing has one glaring omission, and that's not a touchscreen. If it was, for that price, it would be insane. Everybody would buy that thing that I know. I would. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. It's a nice, powerful machine, but there's no, you got to have some other extra input for art. So that was a real bummer. So I really thought a Microsoft Surface product was in my future. Surface 4 just didn't cut it. So I headed on down to the Microsoft store, and I got deep into Microsoft Studio, Surface Studio one afternoon. The device I messed around on was the $4,199 one that you can get on Amazon's currently got them. That's an Intel Core i7, 32 gig of RAM, 2 terabyte drive. Obviously, the most specs of any of these devices we've talked about before in terms of storage and RAM and whatnot. The pros on this thing, really awesome big screen, beautiful 28-inch screen. It's awesome. Great design, great ergonomics. You go flat from the PC sort of stand-up style. Just laying that thing flat into sort of art form is awesome. That optional little dial thing, I forgot what it's called, a little hockey puck thing. That thing's pretty cool, although third parties aren't really using it the way we'd all sort of hoped. But going flat to PC, PC to flat, piece of cake, easy. Just a rad, cool industrial design. Slow for the price, though. Pen is very laggy. In fact, laggier than the Surface Pro 4. I was so bummed as soon as I grabbed the pen and tried to work in Photoshop, which is what I had up and running. And it just is so, it misses the mark. I mean, it's probably fine for somebody who just needs to whip something up fast. But if you're looking for precision and speed and feel and all that, which is really what matters, it was so bad. And I'm so bummed about this. But it's the same Microsoft pen as the Surface Pro, and I just don't think that thing's up to snuff yet. It's not worth the money. If the lag was more comparable to a Wacom or Wacom solution, this might be the thing to get. Even at that price, if we could at least equal what the Cintiq devices are delivering in terms of performance, this might have been the one. Gonna need some time on that. Need some iteration, okay? A couple of versions later, we'll come back to you. I was this close to, I wanted that thing so bad. When they announced, I got so excited. And on the whole, I'm thrilled with Microsoft's efforts to reach out to creatives. I think that's something they've not only needed to do for a long time, but it's much needed in the current competitive space. It's good for Apple to have somebody else out there aiming for creatives. And Apple's made so many missteps with Final Cut Pro and, just kind of getting away from that in general, that we were all starting to wonder, well, geez, I guess it's all Adobe and whatever. We need to go where our tools are being supported, and Apple's lagged in that way, and Microsoft sort of picked up the slack. That was until, some of you are going to hate this. If you don't like Apple, you're not going to like this. I like Apple just fine. I like everybody, but whoever gives me the best tools, those are the ones I use. My pick out of this entire batch of everyone that I've tried, and keep in mind, I didn't try any of these like inexpensive Chinese monitors that you can get out of China, different Chinese manufacturers. where they're, you know, they're sort of trying to be Cintiqs, but they're all kind of terrible. I've used some in the past, but I'm not even going to include those here. And I'm not talking about any Android tablets because I've yet to use an Android tablet that was good with the art side of things. Those have all been real rough in my experience. If anyone knows of one, certainly email me, scott@frogpants.com, and tell me. But the one I'm most excited about is the Apple iPad Pro, the 12.9-inch, to be specific. If you want to get that thing maximum equipped, you're looking at about $1,149 plus $99 for the pencil, so about $1,249 total. If you want the 10.5-inch, which is perfectly fine solution of the Pro. These are both relatively new and both refreshed. Well, I guess the 12.9 got refreshed and the 10.5 got released earlier this year. But anyway, that's $9.99 for that one plus the pencil. I don't know what they're doing here. I don't know where the magic is, but there is zero detectable lag with that with the Apple Pencil. Like nothing. I put it to screen, I move it, everything does exactly what I want it to do, and it does it quickly without any catch-up, without any lag at all. Now, some of that depends on the app I'm using. If I'm using an older, less optimized app like Art Studio or something like that, it's a little, you know, there's more noticeable lag, so it does definitely seem like the apps can make a difference. But if the app is well optimized, it's undetectable. Like in the Adobe apps, non-detectable. There's zero lag that I can see. I'm sure there's some in some infinitesimal way, but I can't see it. And the 120 hertz refresh on the display perhaps helps that, but it just feels so smooth, buttery smooth, getting that on there. The pencil completely delivers in this way. I wish it was a chargeless pen like the Wacom and Microsoft solutions. That's my biggest bummer here. You do need to charge it. It holds a charge for a very long time. It charges very fast, so it's not that big of a deal. But I don't love that. I kind of wish the tech was different. And maybe that the charge is what's making it possible for this thing to have even less lag than its competition. But I don't know enough about that bit. But it's super, super smooth, super fast. Big downer is no native desktop apps. There's decent stuff from Adobe. They have Draw and Sketch and a couple other apps that are basically equivalents to their desktop counterparts. There's nice integration for me to literally send them up to my Adobe CC account and have it appear on my desktop immediately after I've sent it from the device. But what they're clearly looking for you to do is do very basic things there, sketches, you know, rudimentary stuff, concept art, whatever, and then send it up to the cloud, and then the cloud just poops it out on your desktop. That's really cool the way that works. But I would much rather have full-blown Adobe functionality apps on the device. We're talking about a very different ecosystem, and I totally get why it doesn't, but this is one of the bummer sides of going with this solution. This has been true since day one, but what you do have, thankfully, is a lot of amazing third-party stuff coming out. I don't know if anyone out there has used Procreate 4 or any of the Procreate versions. It's only $5. It seems like I'm ripping them off, to be honest, because this thing is amazing, an incredible application. So well integrated with the drawing engine and with the pencil. It's a wonderful device, or a wonderful piece of software. More about that in a minute, and software in general, but it's incredible. In fact, I would use Procreate on all desktop solutions. I'd use it everywhere. I wish they would just straight up make it everywhere, and I would pay more for it, because right now I think we're getting an incredible deal. Anyway, but by far the best lack of lag, the best accuracy, best speed, best price for what you can get, honestly. I mean, it depends on your use case. But you have all the other reasons you can use a tablet for, you know, your movies and whatever you're doing with it. Native desktop apps would be really nice, though. But again, third-party apps are making it great. Also, there's some cool third-party apps that you can subscribe to or use that let this become a Wi-Fi or USB-based second display that you can then use your native desktop apps with, because you'll just use it like a Wacom. And that works pretty well, but again, it requires some third-party stuff to do that. There's a couple of them. One's a subscription-based one, and there's certainly others out there. I may expand into what those do and how they actually work in a future episode of this. But there's also some nice little bonusy things, like great integration with AirPlay. You know, you can easily send this thing up to an Apple TV to a big screen, and people can watch as you draw. I did this at an event last summer. That was really fun for people to watch that. And now that I've had some more time to use iOS 11, I'm starting to like things a lot more, like the new file system and the new syncing to iCloud setup. And Dropbox is really well integrated. And like, you kind of can do a lot of your workflow stuff better than you've ever been able to. And that's nice. And it's got me to this place where I prefer using it over anything. My 22-inch Wacom will just sometimes just sit here because I would rather do it on the Pro and move files back and forth as needed. I just like how it feels better. And it's funny, I think I'm drawing more because of it, not in spite of it. It's hard to explain, but I'm just more driven. And I can be anywhere with it. I can be in bed and go, oh, I got an idea, and I can whip out a sketch real quick, or I can, you know, take it with me or whatever. Whereas if I've got to come do that same kind of creative process on the Wacom, I have to come down, I have to dedicate time to it, I got to sit in front of it, I got to, you know, do the whole computer thing. And sometimes you don't want that. You just want to just raw, here's a pencil, here's a pad, go. So I like that a lot. So after all is being said, I think that that's where I'm going to land, at least this year. And every year I look and see what's going on and what's happening. I think this level of competition is great. And like I said, I love that Microsoft's getting into this. I think they're going to be the ones to beat in a couple of years if they keep this up. I hope Apple continues to push what they're pushing with the iPad in this case. I wish they would do more of that with desktop, but they've really nailed it here. They have literally created the thing I wanted, and I didn't know that they were going to do. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes Apple remembers how to do this, and they did it here. So that is my recommendation if you are looking for the best possible technology married with a really good price, and if you can give up on a few things like desktop app integration and that sort of thing. Second place I'd give to just about any of those Wacom devices. They're all awesome, all really nice stuff. And there's a reason why they are a standard and they've been around for a very long time. It's also a company you can trust. They're very good to work with, and highly recommend those as well. Here's hoping that Apple, maybe Google with Android and others, will soon have something. And on the horizon, we have new hardware coming from Google, the Google Pixel, Chromebook Pixel 2. What's it called? Chrome Pixel 2, I guess it's just called. They have too many weird name crossovers. Anyway, that thing has a pen display and an optional pen. And I don't know anything else about it except that device will run Android apps natively, and it will also have integrated Chrome stuff. So somebody may swoop in and go, hey, look at this app we've made for this device. Boom! Suddenly everybody's drawing on a Chromebook. That's entirely possible. We'll keep our eye on that. In the future, I'm going to come back on here sometime in the soonish and talk about actual software. What are we drawing with today? Can't all be Adobe, right? There's other solutions, certainly other solutions in both the form of apps and Windows and Mac apps and that sort of thing. So we'll do a roundup of those, talk a little more specifically about what kind of software people are using and what I'm using specifically right now. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Art Tech. I love DTNS Labs, and I cannot wait to do more of these. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you soon.